Good morning. Today is the, I think it's the 11th. It is the 11th of April, 2014. We're going to call the meeting to order at 9:05. And I can report that we do have a quorum present, Commissioners Davis, Hubbard, and Spoon, as well as myself, Gary Gramling, are present. Okay, so the standard opening lines. Members of the public who wish to address the Housing Commission must fill out a speaker request form. Speakers normally are limited to 3 minutes. Collective testimony by those who support or oppose an item shall be limited to no more than 15 minutes total per side. I don't think we're going to be using either of those this morning because it's a fairly calm agenda, I believe. The public may ask for an item to be pulled from the consent agenda after it's announced by submitting a speaker request form. Comments on non-agenda items are heard at the beginning of each meeting. Please fill out a white-colored speaker request form before the meeting starts if you have a non-agenda item you'd like to address the commission with. And to speak on a matter listed on the agenda, please complete a speaker request form and submit it to the recording secretary over here in the corner before the item is called. If you intend to speak in opposition, let her know and she'll give you a pink-colored form. If you plan to speak in support, fill out a gold-colored form. And there is no political agenda in selecting those colors. It's not saying that. I'm ad-libbing. Okay. At that point in time, we've called to order. I've given you your initial comments. I see no indication that anyone's requested to speak from the public. No public comment requests have been made. Commissioners, this is your time to talk about anything you'd like to do that's relevant to the commission's business at this time. Do you have anything? Okay. Moving along then, we'll go to the report by the President and Chief Executive Officer. Mr. Gentry.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Every year the Housing Commission does a series of what we call awards of excellence for staff. The staff who we believe are some of our best performers and who represent the agency very well, not only what they do, but the whole organization. Each year what we do is we pull our employees who get to nominate, and then the executive staff will select 3 individuals and 1 group for recognition. In addition, there is an employee every year who is chosen as the CEO's Award of Excellence, which is decided between my senior staff and me. And so what I'd like to do this morning is to recognize those and ask if the chairman would stand in front and have his photo taken with them. And these are for outstanding job performances in 2013. And the 3 individuals, I'd like for you to come up in a group, if you will. Tina Kessler, who's a program analyst in our real estate division. Damaris Carrillo, who is a housing assistant, too, in the rental assistance division. And Nathan Furl, who is a senior business analyst in our financial services department. These are the 3 individual awards nominated by their peers and chosen by the department heads here. And excellent, excellent people all. And we are not just an organization full of individuals. We're also a team in general with lots of other sub-teams within our midst. And we like to recognize the team every year, too, in order to show just how well we all work together. And the team Award of Excellence for 2013 is the Housing Commission's Achievement Academy. which is a focal point of our Path to Success program. Stephanie Murphy leads this team. Team members, please come up and be recognized. While we're getting settled, I'll remind everybody that this is the team that works with our residents in terms of their economic mobility. We are committed not only to providing current assistance to residents, but helping them in their upper mobility. We've got one more in a minute, Gary. To help them their upper mobility, this team will be providing a workshop to the board next month to show not only what we do, but the great improvements we've shown over the last couple of years. Absolutely. Our next award is for the CEO's Award of Excellence. This was a decision made between me and my senior staff. This represents someone who has gone above and beyond in performance for several years, and it was my great pleasure and honor to recognize this year Tina Holmes in our HR department. I'll point out while Gary's coming back to his chair that Tina has been with us about 6 to 7 years, that range, and has been the one constant in HR that's helped us as we've gone through any number of changes, as the board is well aware. You have my greatest respect, Tina, and affection. Thank you very much. Appreciate it. And, Mr. Chairman, I have one other announcement, and then I'll turn the podium back to you. To remind the board that there will be a celebration of the Connections Housing's one-year anniversary, which will occur on Monday, April the 14th. And I believe we've already notified you of it, and several of you are going to plan to be there, but I just wanted that noted for the record as well. And that concludes my report, Mr. Chairman.
You were briefer.
You're not
used to it. Succinct.
Yeah.
But to the point.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. at this point, I'm looking at the wrong page, but I'm going to propose a consent agenda for this morning's session. The consent agenda I'm proposing is that items 100, 101, and 102 be moved to the consent agenda, and the question is, will anyone support that? Okay, Commissioner Davis has moved approval of the consent agenda. Commissioner Hubbard has seconded that. Is there any discussion? Seeing no indication of such, I'll call for the vote. All in favor of the consent agenda as proposed, indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? The consent agenda is approved. Approval of the minutes of the regular meetings, which was March 14th, last month, 2014. You've received the minutes in your initial packet. Do you see any need for changes, modifications of any kind? Seeing no indication of such, is there a move approval? Commissioner Hubbard has moved approval of the minutes of March 14th. Is there a second? Commissioner Davis is seconded. Our new commissioners are carrying the load here today. any discussion? Yes, me too. Seeing no indication of any discussion, I'll call for the vote. All in favor of the minutes for March 14th, 2014, indicate by saying aye. See, I just switched it from yes there. I'm not sure if anyone picked up on that. And opposed, nay. The motion carried unanimously. With that, then, we're moving right on down the agenda. Item 103, proposed fiscal year 2015 Affordable Housing Fund Annual Plan. You're going to do this all by yourself? Oh, okay. I thought with your recognition of excellence that you were just taking over there.
Well, the secret is that Tina does run a lot of things in our department. So, good morning.
Good morning.
Ann Kern, Senior Director of Rental Housing Finance. And item 103 is regarding the proposed fiscal year 2015 Affordable Housing Fund Annual Plan. And the Affordable Housing Fund is one of our key resources for affordable housing activities in the city of San Diego. Tina Kessler, Program Analyst, is responsible for administering the Affordable Housing Fund, and she will provide a presentation on the proposed plan.
Good morning, Commissioners, Chair Gramling, Mr. Gentry, Mr. Christensen. My name is Tina Kessler from the Real Estate Department. Agenda item 103 before you today is a recommendation for approval to the San Diego City Council to approve the proposed fiscal year 2015 Affordable Housing Fund Annual Plan. Each year, we are required to present an annual plan to City Council for approval. The annual plan is the framework for planning and budgeting of the fund revenues. The plan specifies the amount of money budgeted for housing activities and administrative expenses, in addition to describing the programs to be funded. The intent of the AHF funds is a permanent and annually renewable source of revenue to meet, in part, the housing needs of the city's very low, low, and median income households. Very low income households are 30% area median income, low income households are 31 to 50% area median income, and median income households are 51 to 80% area median income. At 50% AMI, a family of four would be earning less than $39,450 annually. Additionally, the intent is to leverage other revenues at least 2 to 1 to support the city's balanced communities policy and preserve and maintain affordable housing. Also to encourage private sector involvement in affordable housing activities. Historically, AHF funds have leveraged over 10 to 1. The Affordable Housing Fund was created by San Diego Municipal Code Chapter 9, Article 8, Division 5, in June 2003. This fund is composed of two funding sources, Housing Trust Fund and Inclusionary Housing Fund. The Inclusionary Housing Fund revenue comes from the collection of fees from residential development and revenue from loan repayments. These funds are primarily used for construction of new affordable housing units, with priority given to the community area in which funds were collected. Inclusionary funds may also be used for other programs administered by SDHC with City Council approval included in the annual plan. Housing Trust Fund revenues come from fees on commercial developments and loan repayments. Funds can be distributed through loans or grants or indirect assistance for production and maintenance of assisted units and their related facilities. These funds follow the following guidelines. At least 10% of the funds have to be used for transitional housing, at least 60% to provide assistance for very low-income households, no more than 20% to provide housing to low-income households, and no more than 10% to assist median and moderate-income first-time homebuyers. The next slide that you have are photos of two projects that have benefited from revenues from the Affordable Housing Fund, Juniper Gardens, a preservation deal, and Mesa Commons, which is scheduled to be finished later this year. In fiscal year 15, we anticipate a total of $32,542,507 in the Affordable Housing Fund. This includes approximately $3.3 million in linkage, $26,000 in Housing Trust Fund CDBG repayments, an additional $129,000 in interest and loan repayments, and approximately $29 million of inclusionary funds. This next slide represents production and allocation by program, with approximately $18 million to rental housing finance, $1 million to home ownership, $26,000 to lead remediation in healthy homes, $700,000 to transitional housing, $20,000 for targets of opportunities, approximately $2 million for administration, another $200,000 for administration and legal expenses, and approximately $9.9 million in fund balance. This next slide represents percentages allocated of the total AHF funds for fiscal year 15 to the various departments and activities, with 56.7% to rental housing finance, 30.7% in fund balance, 6.7% to administration, 3.1% to home ownership, 2.2% to transitional housing, 0.6% to administration legal expenses, and 0.1% to lead remediation in healthy homes. The model program's activity list guides the uses of AHF funds. We are proposing the following changes to the model program's activities in fiscal year 15. Remove the nonprofit capacity building sections. Remove all inactive programs from the model programs list. This includes shared appreciation loans and resident ownership mobile home parks. Revise down payment and closing cost assistance program to be consistent with Fannie Mae financing. This will allow for grants up to 6% of the purchase price, not to exceed $15,000. Also changing the terms of the grant to a forgivable grant. And then the title of Shelter Plus Care Program is being revised to Permanent Supportive Housing Program. And this will also allow for us to change Permanent Supportive Housing Program to allow capitalized operating expenses. The proposed allocation and model programs were presented at the Uptown Planners Group, University Commuter Planners Group, and College Area Community Planning Board at their March meetings. No written comments have been received. Approval of this action will result in the continued funding of activities benefiting the city's very low to median income individuals and households. The requested actions are as follows. Approve the fiscal year 15 Affordable Housing Fund proposed annual plan program activity allocation of $32,542,507 in anticipated funds and the model programs. Authorize the President and CEO to reallocate funds among the model programs included in the FY15 annual plan in response to market demands and opportunities. This concludes our presentation, and we are available to answer any questions.
Commissioner Spoon.
Thank you. It's very well put together. I'd like to know the fund balance that's on slide number 9. It's $9,977,000. How much of that is already committed? And we can, you know, we can ask finance if you need.
Of the $9.9 million of fund balance, that does not include any committed funds at this time. We anticipate, so part of the budget is that we plan for new revenues to come in the door, one of which is inclusionary housing funds. And until those monies are collected, we cannot commit those funds. And so there is a large amount of money that we expect to come in the door. And so what we've done is we believe, prudently put an amount in the fund balance so that until those monies are actually collected to match up with a project, we would have those in the fund balance, so those are not committed. Well, currently, so out of the proposed budget for rental housing finance, for example, currently there's about $7.2 million that's already identified to existing projects. For example, COM 22 is one of those that's under construction. So funds are still being drawn down to fund the construction of COM 22. In addition, we do have some potential projects coming in the door. We brought Willie James Jones, the first part of Willie James Jones, to you. We also brought Vietnam Veterans, Veterans Village Phase 5 to you. Those are also not in these, or they're not deducted from these fund balances in the report. In addition, we have several other projects that have approached us, approximately $16 million of potential projects coming through for funding next year. They're just not at that point where we can bring them forward for a recommendation at this time.
The point I was trying to make is there is not an excess of $9.9 million available. I mean, they are, it is already in some way planned for.
At the end of the day, no, there's not excess money of $9.9 million going fallow. It is needed.
Another question I have, I only have two. With the community group meetings, you say there were no written comments. How many people were at the meetings, and what kind of oral comments or verbal comments did they have?
I felt that the community plan meetings were pretty well attended. You know, when we go to the community planning groups, we usually are an information item on their agenda. They did have some questions about home ownership. That seems to be the most frequent question. They had some questions on what is workforce housing. And there, you know, in the different communities, there's different activities going on. For example, in the college community, the Mesa Commons project is just down the street. It also happens to be in the month of March that it's their election night. So they're very busy with their election activities. So, you know, oftentimes, I want to say their attention is more focused on their election than the other items. But there were pretty well attended community groups, and I was surprised we did not get any written comments, but very supportive and very interested in the Affordable Housing Fund and the projects that are being provided in their communities.
I believe that those three community groups are representing just two council districts. Is that correct? Or maybe only one?
Yeah,
two.
It might be two, and the way that we've done this is we've tried to select community groups that we haven't visited in the past so that we can expand the outreach to the different community groups. We also did ask to be put on the community planning chair agenda this year, but they did not ask for us to be on their agenda.
I was just wondering. I know that we don't concentrate just in those two districts with our funds, so I was curious as to why we didn't go to any of the other districts. COM 22, I think it's outside East Village, but I'm not sure of that. But I know we have projects that are in East Village, or in virtually at least seven of the nine districts.
Yes, we try to visit new communities that we haven't visited in the past. And in addition to the groups, we are planning to attend the Encanto Community Group just to give them an update on affordable housing, since we have a number of developments coming forward in that area as well.
Okay. Any other questions? No? All right. Is there a recommendation from the board? Okay. Commissioner Spoon has moved approval of the staff recommendation as presented. Is there a second? Commissioner Davis has seconded that motion. Is there any additional discussion? Seeing no indication of such, I'll call the question. All in favor of the motion, please indicate by saying aye. Opposed? Nay. The motion is carried unanimously. Thank you. Next one? Oh, I meant to put that on consent. No. Item 104, proposed fiscal year 2015 budget.
Good morning, Chair. Good morning, Commissioners. I'm Jeff Davis, Chief Operating Officer, and with me is Nicole DeBerg, Chief Financial Officer. We are before you today requesting that the Board approve the proposed fiscal year 2015 Housing Commission budget as included in your Board materials. We also ask that you make a recommendation that the Housing Authority delegate authority to the Housing Commission to amend the fiscal year 2015 budget for amounts consistent with prior year delegation. Last month, we presented the budget to you in a workshop and fielded your questions afterwards. Our presentation included the following elements. We discussed the budget process, the agency's 2015 budget objectives, the anticipated sources of funds, planned uses of funds, and we reviewed the budget by agency activity. The budget numbers before you today have not changed from what was previously presented. We are this morning fully prepared to provide a detailed presentation again, or we'd be happy to answer any of your additional questions. That concludes our presentation report.
We're trying to figure out what questions we can ask you because we can't let you get by with a 5-minute presentation. Oh, Commissioner Spoon. Okay, Commissioner Spoon is going, no, you cut off too short. Now you're in trouble because we know she knows what you've put here better than anyone else in the room, possibly than you.
No, I haven't seen slide 35, 36, and 37.
See,
so
told
I was
you.
Hoping we could get a little presentation on those three slides.
All right, so these slides have been added based upon popular request by our board and also last year based on popular request by the city. So, and in fact, those are the slides we're actually the most proud of, so thank you for giving me this opportunity. Given the fact that homelessness issues are a core focus of our intentions, let's go a little bit into more detail about our homelessness efforts. The San Diego Housing Commission works cooperatively with community stakeholders to identify, create, and fund innovative strategies dedicated to ending homelessness and lessening its impact on our community. Our fiscal year 2015 budget is investing $19.8 million to create 163,143 nights of housing for homeless San Diegans. On the next sketch, well, you know what? The problem is this thing's supposed to be out. Would somebody? You can't even click. Sorry. So we're now on page 36.
And you can see this is well rehearsed.
Of course. Proper prior planning prevents poor performance. There was another word. My mother taught me this one. She calls it the 7 P's of success.
We're not sure we want to know all of them.
My mother was a very smart woman. Oh, is.
There we go. So, on this schedule, you can see how we are funding this $19.8 million of investment. The majority of the funding support comes from federal HUD Section 8 and Shelter Plus Care grants. We also use CDBG, Home, ESG, Affordable Housing Fund, and SDHC and City General Funds. Next slide, please. So, on this schedule, you can see the details of these 316,000 nights of housing.
I'm going to interrupt you.
Oh, yeah.
Because if we do have a couple of fairly new board members present, mm-hmm. So it might be helpful if you explain what those acronyms are as you go down the line.
Oh, okay. So ESG is Emergency Shelter Grant, CDBG is Community Development Block Grant. Those are funding sources that can be utilized in pursuit of homelessness projects. They are flexible funding sources. They can be used for more than one purpose. They can create affordable housing, they can rehabilitate, and they can be used for homelessness. So we employ some of those funds for homelessness initiatives. Does that work?
Okay, and COC?
That's Continuum of Care.
Okay.
Sorry. The acronyms are vast. When I started here, they gave me a 3-page memorandum of acronyms. And, yeah, my apologies. On the source, it's federal HUD funds. The next schedule, in case you don't believe us that there really are 316,000 nights of housing, we actually broke them out by project here. Now, on the next slide, page 38, you have to click. Okay, so there's a variety of approaches to addressing homelessness because individuals have definitely different needs. The Housing Commission funds short-term housing, permanent housing, service access, as well as systems support. Next slide. Yeah, go ahead. Oh. Well, see, I have to go through those quickly because the city only gives me 10 minutes of presentation time for 800 slides, so I don't say too much about each slide. Yes, please.
What's the PSH?
Permanent Supportive Housing.
Thank you.
Oh, sorry. We will remove all acronyms from future presentations upon your request.
Mr. Gentry?
A couple of comments. One, the homelessness arena is confusing. I've been in this business 42 years, and it still confuses the dickens out of me. So it will you all, too. There's something wrong with you if it doesn't confuse you. I'll point out that almost all of these acronyms refer to funding sources are almost all federal. Where it says general funds, that's the city's own budget and local money. Just about every, I'm looking at the list now, everything else, and housing impact fees are also city money. The other, and also where it says SDHC, that will be out of our reserves. The others, Section 8, ESG, which is Emergency Shelter Grant, Continuum of Care, the others are various forms of federal funding. I'll also point out that this is an arena that's undergoing a lot of analysis, debate, discussion right now within the city, us included, and is likely to show a good bit of change over the next 3 to 6 months. For instance, the new mayor included dealing with homelessness as one of his major priority areas. Council President Gloria also included this as a prime council agenda item. The chair of the Public Services Committee at the city, Marty Emerald, has included it as one of her primary areas of focus going forward as well. In addition, beginning about 4 or 5 months ago, we kicked off here what I'm calling Homelessness 2.0, where this agency is going through a staff exercise right now to look at, re-examine, redefine, and perhaps to replan what we need to be doing in this arena going forward. Our plan is to have that to you all for the June board meeting. We hope to start coming to some closure on that end of this month, early next. And right now, we have that. We plan to bring that to you. I think the board meeting in June has been moved to the 20th. That's when it will be before you. It'll be. We plan to present it to Marty Emerald's committee also in June. We'll have a lot of communications with the city as well as with you all in the meantime. So this is undergoing a good bit of change, a good bit more attention, and I suspect that we'll see some pretty good conclusions come out of what we're doing in the next 2-3 months.
I'm not going to move from that schedule until there are no more questions, because I do want to answer everything. And thank you for apprising me of the acronym issue. My apologies.
It's okay. We reserve the right to call you back to that page.
At any time you wish. All right, so might we? Yes.
So looking at that page, it works out to $62.55 a night.
If you have done the math, I am absolutely sure it's correct.
I mean, that's just interesting to me. Mm-hmm. It's $62 a night, which to me seems reasonable.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Do these numbers include overhead?
Yes, indeed they do.
So it's all costs.
Yes.
And then
the only thing that did, yeah, go ahead. No, we've included overhead this year. We didn't last year, but you know the overhead is a true cost of the commission, so that's why I included it.
Right.
So.
Mm-hmm. And per person per year, it's $3,060. So, which is far less than $12,000 a year for.
Mm-hmm. I think the numbers may not necessarily reflect reality here, though, because the cost for housing someone in a cot, say in a shelter, overnight with minimal services, is going to be far less than the real estate cost of developing and operating property.
Right.
So I think this is an arena in which the metrics are difficult to get a handle on.
Still, as an average, that's not
bad. As an average, it is good, but it reflects a different level than if, say, we're building a new property we expect to last for 55 years, or it's an annual cost of real estate for, say, a voucher program.
Yeah, I think my analysis was more in response to
the critics that say there is too much invested in each night. So at $62 a night,
yeah,
I don't think that is.
I would agree with your observation. I think the critics are going to be critical and pick their numbers as they wish. I'll point out that we also use the Housing Trust Fund, which you heard from the earlier presentation, is also variously known as linkage fees and the workforce housing offset or various other terms. So I think part of the issue is people who fund don't want to pay. Another issue, and there's a term for this, I'm forgetting what it is, and that is if a solution does not make the problem go away, it's considered less than successful, which would tend to obviate the need for hospitals and military and a whole lot of other institutions out there. But I think that the part of the issue for us is making sure that when we discuss metrics, that the numbers are in relation to something meaningful. And that's the tough part in this arena.
Mm-hmm. Would you please give me a little more information on what the mental health systems entail?
What the mental health systems?
Uh-huh.
So I'm going to have Matthew Packard answer that question, as he knows our programs much better than I do.
Thank you. Commissioner, Mental Health Systems is one of the subgrantees to the Permanent Supportive Housing Program that's funded through the Continuum of Care, another one of the federal grants that Rick referred to. That's a program whereby the federal government provides an ongoing rental subsidy for people that are previously homeless and disabled, and then that rental subsidy is accompanied with ongoing supportive services. Yes. Well, not only just rental issues, any other issues that they, mental health issues, any other issues they have going on in their life.
Thank you.
So what do you think of these numbers, $62 a night?
I think they are reasonable numbers. I think Rick's point is a good one. They cover a gambit of services. Everywhere from emergency assistance to that much more expensive permanent supportive housing arrangement. So on a whole, I think it's very reasonable. Again, covering the gambit, some of that permanent supportive housing programs can cost as much as $12,000 a year with the supportive services, not counting the rental subsidy. So if you run the whole gambit, I think it's very reasonable.
And does that compare with other communities?
Yes, I believe so.
Cautiously, I'm thinking, should we proceed? Excellent. Might we then proceed to slide number 39, since I covered 38? All right, so this is talking about our short-term housing services. Short-term housing needs are addressed by one of many shelters we are supporting. So we have the single adult emergency shelter, the veterans emergency shelter, Connections interim housing beds, Cortez Hill, and there's transitional housing. Slide 40. The majority of our permanent supportive housing services are provided through rental subsidy type of programs such as Section 8 and Shelter Plus Care. Other projects such as the Neil Good Day Center and Project Homeless Connect provide urgently needed services to meet the basic needs of our homeless citizens. The Housing Commission is one of the agencies in the city leading the efforts to ensure that our continuum of care is compliant with the HARF federal regulations, creating a more accountable system approach to homelessness services. Furthermore, at the invitation of HUD, the Housing Commission is participating in the National 25 Cities Initiative to identify new and innovative ways to reach the national goal of ending veterans and chronic homelessness by 2015. And Jeff can actually elaborate because he just came back from Washington. So, and that actually does summarize my presentation about the homelessness efforts. And if you would like to go back to any other page in this document, please feel free to ask more questions.
Commissioners, do you have any other questions? Okay, it's been moved by Commissioner Spoon that the staff proposal be approved. In its entirety. Is there a second? Commissioner Davis has seconded the motion. Any additional discussion? Seeing no indication of such, I'll call the question. All in favor say yes.
Yes.
All opposed say no.
Yay.
I'm making sure they're staying on their toes. Okay, the motion is carried unanimously. Thank you very much.
Thank you for your attention.
Now the public session of the April meeting is closed. We're going to move into executive session. And Counselor, do you have? It says closed session, right? No, that's the minutes over here. Okay. This meeting is adjourned. Thank you very much.